Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The first example of this principle being borne out was in the garden. Satan's promise that caused man to fall was, "You shall be as gods," and that did the trick. And think of the destruction that was caused by Adam's sin. A whole race of people falling into spiritual death and sin and sinful pride. Because of Adam's sin, we're all born proud and haughty sinners. Now, there's a natural truth to our text, as we see so often in the Proverbs. There's a temporal application and a spiritual, eternal application of this truth. Listen to 1 Peter 5:5, where Simon is talking about people and the way they live in this world. 1 Peter 5:5, "Likewise, you younger..." Speaking to the church, "you younger ones, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." You see how he's applying the principle of our text. God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. If you're proud, you're in opposition to God himself in that. And so he's saying, that being the case, be clothed with humility in your relationships with one another. And you younger, submit to the elder as is proper. So there's that earthly application of this truth. But this verse, our text this morning, is also a life or death spiritual truth that concerns eternal destruction and eternal honor. There's nothing about which man's evil pride shows itself more than when it comes to the gospel. When it comes to the grace of God in Christ, when the gospel is preached, man's pride is exposed, spiritual pride. We're proud of our works. Almost every religion of this world, what they call salvation, is based upon something that man does. Man has perverted the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ into a merit-based reward system. Why? Why does man do that? When all through the scripture, "not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." So why does man do that in opposition to every word of scripture? Haughtiness. Pride. And our text says this is exactly what God will destroy you for. Again, the fall in the Garden of Eden was born of pride. "You shall be as gods. You will determine good and evil." Up till now, God said, "You do this and don't do this. But if you eat of this fruit, you'll be as gods. And you'll decide what's right and what's wrong." And man to this day believes that. Believes he's God. Believes it's all up to him. It's all up to me. My destiny is in my hands. Problem with that is there's a God who runs everything, including you. And man, and God, what's the first thing that God hates? A proud look. A proud look. man is determined to be saved on his own terms, which involves him deciding when he'll be saved and when he won't be saved. Because the sinner does not like God's terms. And this, as our text says, will end in destruction. God's terms are full and complete surrender and submission. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10, please. Verse 1, Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Not that they might come around to my way of thinking. It's not a question of what I think as opposed to what you think. It's a question of God saving you. And here's how that happens. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Nobody more religious than Jewish people. Religious Jews in that day. And they're just an example. It's not picking on the Jews. They're just an example of religion in this case. That they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They say we worship God. We do the will of God. We serve God. But they don't know who God is. Not according to knowledge. For, and here's how I know that, Paul said. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What does he mean by that? They don't know anything about God's righteousness. What do people do that don't know anything about how to be righteous in the sight of God? They go about to establish their own righteousness. I live the Christian life. It's not picking on Jews, so-called Christians, also deeply religious, but don't know God. This religious world don't know God. Just like in Christ's day, they didn't. The established religion, the respected and looked up to religion of the day, didn't know who Christ was. They still don't. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and somebody that is ignorant of God's righteousness manifests that by trying to do their righteousness before God is based on what they do. I'm good to my mama. I go to church. I give 10% or whatever. I walked an aisle. It doesn't matter what it is. Salvation's of the Lord, not you. You don't accept Jesus. He accepts you or he don't. As it pleases him. The word submitted there, they haven't submitted themselves. Look at verse 3 again, the last part. In going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Why is owning God's way of righteousness a submission? Because by nature, we reject that. We reject the idea that only by Christ can we stand holy in the sight of God. We reject that by nature. I will. I do. I am, is our motto. So there's a submission, a surrender, a bowing. The word submitted there means to be subordinate, to surrender to someone else's control. It's the opposite of what religion says every time they get together. What do they say? It's up to you. God's done all this, but now it's up to you. That word submission in the Word of God is the opposite of that. Refusal to submit to Christ results in destruction. An humble submission to Him results in exaltation. Listen to Matthew 23:8. But be not ye called rabbi. He's speaking to his disciples here, and they're fixing to go out and teach the word of God, the truth of God. But he said, don't you be called master. Religious people call their teachers master. Don't let anybody call you that, because there's one master, and it ain't you. For one is your master, even Christ. And you're all brothers. You're brother. You're not master over one another. You're a brother to one another. You see the humility? He's already bringing them down now here. And call no man your father upon the earth. Not in a religious sense. Obviously, your father is your father. But he's talking about religion here. He's talking about worship. So what do they do? So what does religion do? Oh, Father so-and-so. How did he know we were going to do that? How did he know? He's God. Don't do it. Don't you do it. For one is your Father, which is in heaven, not a man. Man can't forgive sins. They can't give indulgences. They can't. Man is impotent spiritually. Don't brag on one another. Paul was a scholar, but you know what he's called himself when he introduced himself in his letters to the churches? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul, a servant. Don't call. Don't let anybody call you master. People have called me Reverend Chris before. I say, no, I'm not. I am not reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. Can't let it go. Can't let it go. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. You see our text there? And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. All through Scripture now, Old Testament, New Testament. Spiritual humility now is not just a matter of being unassuming and self-deprecating in with regard to earthly matter. We know people that are, generally speaking, characterized by a humility about them. They're unassuming. They don't brag on themselves. They don't toot their own horn. We know people the opposite of that too, don't we? Always tooting their own horn and bragging on themselves. But there are people that are humble in the ways of this world. That's not spiritual humility before God, though. You can be like that. You can be a church mouse in your personality and not know God and not submit to the righteousness of God in Christ, as we read in Romans chapter 10. So it's not just that. It is to submit to God's way, God's word, and God's son. The spiritually haughty, which is every sinner by nature. Every sinner. As we're born into this world, we think that we've got God by the tail. We think that God only exists just to bless us and do things for us. But the spiritually haughty say things like, it's all up to me. You go to your average Baptist church in this world, or any denomination for that matter, and you won't wait long to hear those words. It's up to you. It's up to you. You need to make that all-important decision. You already made the decision. You already decided that you're God and God's not. You already decided wrong. It's too late for you to decide anything. And if you did, it would be sinful, whatever it was. The humble say this, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The spiritually haughty say, and they sing this, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know what the humble sing, those who know the Lord Jesus? This is written by John Newton, by the way, the man who wrote Amazing Grace, the greatest song ever written in this world. Lord, decide the doubtful case. Thou who art thy people's son, shine upon thy work of grace. If it be indeed begun, let me love you more and more. If I love at all, I pray. If I have not loved before, help me to begin today. Big difference between that and I have decided to follow Jesus. The haughty speak of their free will. The humble say, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. That's what the leper in Matthew chapter 8 said. Lord, if you will. This whole thing hangs on your will, not mine. Humility is the result of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. By faith. Those who see him fall at his feet. They just do. They cast their crowns before him, which is symbolic of anything, any honor or glory that we might perceive to be ours, we cast that at his feet. Those who see the Lord Jesus Christ say things like this, now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Those who see the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is, they say things like this, Lord, what would you have me do? Or, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Simon said this when he got a glimpse of the glory of the Savior. He said, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. The humble in this way will be honored, though we don't deserve it at all. Because those who have submitted to Christ and his righteousness are those who are in Christ. Of God the Father are you in Christ, who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's my righteousness. And being in him, we are joint heirs with him. We are joint heirs with him in all of his glory. And we don't get what we deserve from God. We get what he deserves. And he's worthy of all honor. This humility is not gained by trying to stop bragging on yourself, by turning over a new leaf, by saying things that humble people would say. That's just going to result in a false humility that may be even more disgusting than your pride and mine. True spiritual humility that precedes honor from the Lord is gained by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is gained by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us that salvation any other way would lead to boasting in the sinner. And God will not have it. He will not have it. He resisteth the proud. If God resists you, who's going to help you? Who's going to help you? Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and that not of yourselves. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see our text and how all of Scripture teaches us this same truth. Those who are saved by free grace through the redemption and atonement wrought by Christ alone, act like it, generally speaking. How can we not act like it? God, give us grace to act like it.